So good to see all of you here today. Welcome to church, everybody, and week number three of a five-part series on the book of the Bible called the Song of Solomon. We'll tell you more about that in just a moment. I like to start the service by looking into the camera and just giving a personal hello to every one of our campuses. If you're new to our church, we are one church, but we have 17 different rooms in our house that meet all across the state of Alabama, and we'll actually start our 18th location this fall in Mobile, by the way. And if you want information on that, you can go online and you can be a part of that team and that leadership as we launch there sometime in the middle of August, and we're very excited about that. We're bringing this message in our small groups and everything we are as a church into 15 of Alabama's Department of Corrections facilities right now. And we have people watching live online somewhere around the world. Now, everybody, put your hands together and say hello to your church family. Come on, everybody. God bless you today. Awesome. All right. Here we go. I want you to pull out the little message note sheet out of your worship guide. Perfect day for you to begin to be a note taker. We'll give you lots of good things for you to write down to help your relationships. We are in a relationship series on the Song of Solomon. And what we have done up to this point, and we're really just going verse by verse through the book of the Bible called the Song of Solomon. And the first week, the whole first chapter is about their attraction. We call it the art of attraction. And we discover what you should be attracted to and how you can make yourself more attractive God's way. Last week, they began their dating relationship in chapter 2. They start really, which is not a dating relationship. It was back to the original biblical courtship model. And so you ought to check that one out if you miss it. Today, actually, we're going to skip through their marriage. The marriage is in chapter 3. It's just a few verses. Solomon actually has 60 groomsmen with swords. Come on, somebody, right? A lot of people at the wedding, and they get married. But chapter 4 begins their honeymoon night. They're in the Marriott Hotel now, everybody, all right? And so we're going there next, and we're going to discover what a godly intimacy looks like. Next week, they have their first fight in chapter 5. We'll learn how to fight right, everybody, and how to resolve the conflict. And then finally, we end with the last few chapters on how to have enduring, lasting, mature, faithful love God's way. Here's our theme verse for the series, Song of Solomon, chapter 1. First three verses kind of set the context of the entire series. Solomon's Song of Songs. Some Bibles actually give that as the title of the book. Might be a better translation. Just simply means that of all the songs that he wrote, this is the best. He wrote 1,005 songs. This was his best. And she starts first. There are three people who talk in this story, in this poem, in this song. There's Solomon, he says a few words. His wife, the Shulamite maiden, says 75% of them, everybody. That's a lesson right there all by itself. All right, so, and then you have this chorus of friends, the daughters of Jerusalem. It's translated many different ways. It's basically the people who are looking at their relationship and admiring it, and so they chime in sometimes. I'll make sure you understand who's talking. When she starts off, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine." She was basically starting off and saying, the way you treat people, and this is not just intimate love or romantic love or marriage love. She's saying just the way you love people, you've learned human relationships. And that's why this series, whether you're married or not, is for everybody, because we can all learn how to treat people better in the office and at home and our kids and every place. She goes, you're just great at it. You figured out relationships. And she goes on to say, pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes, your name, or you even have a reputation for being just so good with people. It's like perfume poured out. When you show up in the room, man, we know you're there just because it's so pleasant to be around you. That's the goal. I want to be that kind of person. You should want to be that kind of person. And she finishes by saying, no wonder every woman in the town wants you, but they can't have you because you're all mine, all right? That's what she says here. And that's really where we want to go. We want to help us find godly love. And today we are going to talk about the sexual relationship. Today is a PG-13 message. It's going to be graphic, but no more graphic than the Bible is. And honestly, I want to make a couple of statements right off the bat. First of all, remember our ground rules for this series. And one ground rule is to listen for yourself, not for someone else. No elbowing. No, you need to pay more attention. Write that down. No, none of that, all right? None of that today. And also, we're not going to look backwards. We're going to look ahead. We cannot filter this through the lens of where, what has happened up to this point. Hey, look, listen to me. Jesus makes all things new. Can I hear a good amen, everybody? So it's a from this day forward. That's actually in the marriage vow. From this day forward. I know I've kind of been an idiot before, but from this day forward, I'm going to let God help me make all things new. We're going to help you with that. Also, I want to give you a couple as it relates to today's topic, and that is not in your notes, but the devil didn't create sex, God did. And I say that a lot because honestly, in the church has been horribly silent on the topic, even though the Bible's not. There's lots of verses about healthy, godly sex, and honestly, the devil didn't create it. The devil's perverting it, and I take this personal because I'm trying to pastor people, and the devil, the world they own the script right now. They're defining it. They're saying what it should look like, and they're wrong. God's way is the best way. Let me say it this way: God has blessings for you in relationships that the devil or the world cannot produce for you. They're wonderful, but here's the catch. You gotta do it God's way. God's way works. Every time we step out of God's way, it has destructive consequences. So he has parameters around relationships, but they're not so he's not trying to restrict your life. He's trying to bless your life. He wants to give you intimacy at a level the world cannot produce for you. And so we understand that about our God. We also understand this. You need to know this, is that men and women are very different. And you didn't probably need me to tell you that, but it's beyond the obvious. That men and women are very different by God's design. So you're not necessarily going to see eye to eye on everything by God's design. It's like, why in the world would God do that? He's trying to bring you into a relationship where intimacy goes at the highest level, and that is you understand and you serve. I'm going to understand you. I don't see why you like it that way or why you understand it this way or why you are this way, but I'm going to understand you, and I'm going to appreciate that, and I'm going to serve you. The greatest relationships in the world are two servants in love. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to understand you. I'm not going to despise. Tammy doesn't despise how different I am from her. And men and women, generally speaking, are very different. Men, hey, when it comes to sex, men are microwaves, women are crockpots. Come on, somebody, where y'all at, right? They say it's physically possible for a man to be ready for sex in less than 7 seconds. Well, that's not a woman. A woman like, I don't think so. You better light a candle, put on. You better go take a shower first, right? Right? Man don't care about that, right? Women are interested in the journey. Men are thinking about the destination. Men are motivated by what they see. Women are motivated by what they hear. Why did God do that? God is trying to bring you into a place where you understand, I'm going to understand you, and I'm going to serve you. So you have to listen to all this within the context. Here we go, everybody. Put your seatbelts on. Tray tables and seat backs in their full upright and locked position. Store your carry-ons. Here we go, everybody, all right? Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. Here they are. They're at the Marriott. Watch what happens. Now, he's speaking now. She has talked 75% of the time. And now he begins to talk. Check it out. He's going to talk for 11 verses before he touches her. Men, write that down. That's very good. All right, that'll help you. Okay? So he says, how beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. And he says, and he just starts at the top of her body, and he says, your eyes. Now, he had never seen her eyes up to this point because she'd been wearing a veil. And she now pulls the veil back. That's why the women wear veils many times at a wedding. And he's going, oh, my goodness, you have beautiful eyes. Your eyes are like doves. And then he says, your hair is like a flock of goats. Let me explain. Men, do not write that down, all right? That line ain't going to help you, my brother, all right? That one's not going to help you. But he was saying, your hair is like a flock of goats that are running down the hill of Mount Gilead. Mount Gilead had these black-haired goats. And they would run down, it would create this trickle effect. Really what he's saying here is that she's basically, as all Hebrew women did, she had her hair up, and now she's pulled the beret out, and she went, that's what that verse says, all right? I just gave you a picture. So she's undressing in front of him. That's what's going on here. I'm not making this up. This is the Bible. Can I hear a good amen, somebody, all right? And he says, your teeth, so he's just working his way down, your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn, coming up from the washing. Each has its twin, and there's not one alone. He's saying to her, my goodness, your breast smells good, your teeth are white, and they're all there, and I'm so happy, right? So what does this teach us? It teaches us two things, and that is she's not a hockey player and she's not from Arkansas. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't resist. I'm so sorry. He says, your teeth are all there. Not one of them is alone. And then he works his way down your lips. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. Pomegranate's red, so he was noticing the redness of her cheeks, just how beautiful she is. And then he says something that's really kind of confusing, but I like this. One of my favorite lines. He says, your neck is like the Tower of David. And I know it's not very romantic, and guys, don't use that line, but the Tower of David was the most noble place of the village. It was the place of respect. It was the place of honor, built with elegance. See, there's the word. And on it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. What was he saying here? He says, man, my goodness, the way you carry yourself. This is actually what I believe about my wife. I mean, my wife is very beautiful. But when she walks in the room, man, it's just, she commands respect. She carries herself. You know, if a woman's been shamed or beaten or misused, they don't hold themselves high. Tammy walks in the room with her head held high. She understands this. And listen to this. You got to remember, this woman actually didn't think that much about her body. If you remember in our first lesson in chapter 1, she says, I'm dark. I'm not that very attractive. Now, we think tan bodies are beautiful today, but not back then. That means they were dry and cracked, and it was rough, and because my brothers made me work out in the sun, and I've neglected my body, she said in the first chapter. So she doesn't think she's that pretty. And here he comes along and says, before I even touch you, let me tell you some things. You're gorgeous. Your eyes, your hair, your lips, you're noble. What was he doing? Godly sex, write it down. Godly sex is affirming. Before it ever gets physical, it should be affirming. I'm going to tell you how much you mean to me. I'm going to tell you something. If I've ever passed on any help to you, let me say this to you. Your words are incredibly important, especially you men. In fact, ladies, I don't even know how y'all do it, but my wife can remember every comment I've ever made. Like, 10 years ago, you said, like, what? Yeah, you had those ugly brown shoes. Like, what? And when she gets hysterical, she gets historical. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she just, like, how do you know this? Because that's how powerful words are. The Bible says that your words are like life and death, and you, those who love it will eat its fruit. That literally, your words are powerful. And honestly, we take notice of the fact that your spouse needs affirmation. Men in who she is, women in what he does. Men like to be affirmed for their accomplishments, and women love to hear about what they mean to you and their beauty. One of the craziest, and actually, if I could say it this way, one of the dumbest things a man can say is to make a comment about the woman's body in a degrading kind of a way. You will hurt her soul. No. You are beautiful. The Bible, not in your notes, says a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Two metaphors there. Apples of gold. You're valuable and you're beautiful. You're like the centerpiece of gold apples in the middle of our table. There's none like you. And if I could pass on any truth about what real relationships, and you can take this to the office, you can take this with your kids, that we speak to people, not even what we see, but who they can become. You never come in here and I start talking to you about all the stuff you did this past week. I know what y'all did. Get down on this altar right now and repent, you bunch of heathen dog sinner. No. Look, we all know what we did. I'd rather tell you who you can become. That's what Jesus did. Every person he approached, he didn't highlight all their sins. He knew what they were, and they were sinners. But he spoke to them what he wanted them to become. I've tried to do that with my kids. I never highlighted what they did wrong. In fact, many times when they did something wrong, I said, this is not who you are. Let me tell you who you are. and I change it. We change the narrative when we tell people what they mean to us. Can I hear a good amen, everybody? And I'm going to tell you, men, you need to use this. You married men, you need to, every once in a while, my wife loves it when in the middle of the day and she knows I'm busy and I'm in the middle of a meeting, I'll stop, takes me 10 seconds, get my phone out and just send a little text. Hey, I'm in this meeting, but I'm thinking about you. That's all. It's just 10 seconds worth. And I'm going to tell you, I don't have 5 kids because I'm good looking. Come on, somebody, where y'all at, right? It's affirmation. She enjoys it. You want one more tip? Public affirmation means even more. I sent Tammy flowers once. I send her flowers for Valentine's Day and birthday every year, but I sent them once to the restaurant she was at with a bunch of ladies in the church. Yeah, so it walks into the room. The florist guy shows up, and everybody's wondering who it's for. No one knows yet. And it's coming by tables. They think it's theirs. As it goes by their table. Ends up in front of Tammy's table. I'm told, because I wasn't there, the whole restaurant went, I have 5 kids, not because I'm good looking, everybody, all right? Right. So affirmation, great sex, godly sex, God's way of relationships. We affirm people. Watch the next one. And your two breasts are like two fawns. Now, come on, every guy in this room should relate to this. Like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. What was Solomon saying? He was saying, look, you know what it's like to have, there are two little deer out in the field. Come on, men, some of y'all are hunters. You kind of come in there slowly. You know, hey, fawns, you don't do that, all right? What was Solomon saying? They will run away if you do that, all right? Don't you love the Bible? Well, what's he teaching us here? And that is that godly sex is tender. It's tender. She wasn't the object of his passion for his personal use. She wasn't there to fulfill all of his fantasies. No. He realized that his primary job was to be tender with her. In fact, men desire responsiveness, but women like tenderness. Again, we serve one another. He said, look, I'm going to be tender with you. I'm not going to do anything that cheapens you. We get asked all the time, what's appropriate in the marriage bed? What, like, how many different things can we do? And can we be creative? Yes, you can. Absolutely. But you bounce it off of, and you actually filter it through how the woman feels about that. Let her be the judge. That's always our answer. Let her be the judge of what's okay so that nothing ever happens that makes her feel cheapened. No. We're going to value her. Amen, everybody. Goes on to say, he said, until the day breaks, all night long, all night, all night. That's where Lionel Richie got his song right there. He plagiarized Song of Solomon. I'm just kidding. Until the day breaks. In other words, baby, I'm gonna love you. This isn't gonna be something really quick here. No. All night long, until the day breaks, until the shadows flee, I'm gonna go to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of incense. Notice there are two of those. Yes, that's what he's talking about. All right. What's he doing here? He is actually being romantic. And I want you to write this down: that godly sex is not boring, it's passionate. Because I like to teach this because so many people think that if I really go after God, I'm gonna be bored. And if I really go after God, he's going to sterilize me, and I'll go to heaven, but man, it's not going to be any fun along the way. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That's what the devil wants you to believe, and then he throws in all his counterfeits that destroy our lives. And so just don't believe that. God wants you to have life and have it to the full, and including in this area of marital intimacy. His way, it works. But honestly, passion takes effort. Write that down, you note takers. It's not automatic. We know we're just not in love anymore. The grass is greener on the other side. No. The grass is greener where you water it. And it just takes effort. And don't be surprised that it didn't, we just aren't in love anymore. We hear that all the time. That is, you're not going to be without putting some effort into it. Well, I shouldn't have to work for it. No. You absolutely should have to work for it. That's what it takes to have anything that matters to you. I love a good fireplace. When we lived in Colorado Springs years ago, I love a fireplace. But fireplaces are a lot of work. I mean, you know, you got to buy the wood, and I'm kind of, I don't like to spend money. So like, man, that's a lot of money for wood, you know, that we got a heater, a lot cheaper, you know. But I love the beauty and the warmth and cuddling up to a fire, nothing like it. But in Colorado, it was horrible because you've got, you know, when you burn all your wood, sure enough, it'd become a snowstorm or something. You have to go outside, and then the log pile would be covered in snow, and you had to get a broom and get all the snow off. Had to put a coat on, it was freezing to death out there. And then I had to load it up all on my arms, and now my jacket's all dirty, and I got splinters in my forearms. Y'all know how much I hate this thing? Are y'all seeing this, everybody? Then you come in the house, and you're tracking snow and dirt in. But now I got to vacuum the carpet, you know, and just clean all that out. It's just so we can have this fire. But the fire is beautiful. We love so much about, oh, isn't this the most beautiful? Yes. But it just takes a lot of work. Now, listen to me. I don't have a real fireplace. I got a fake one. I click, poof, there it is, all right? All right? That's working in my house. It will not work in my marriage. No. I mean, I worked so hard to get Tammy. I was buying her flowers and candy and dates and movies and roses. And, man, we're going out, and I'm going to love you. And here's another gift. I know it's no occasion. But and then you get married, and we all stop. You can't stop, sir. Keep buying those flowers. Come on, ladies. I helped you out right there. $10 at Winn-Dixie. Go get you a little there. Right? They put them right there at the front door. They make it as easy as they can with for you. Right. Just stop by, and then after she passes out, pick her back up, and y'all talk about it, all right, you know? Buy her some candy. Send her a text. You can love. You got to pour on the love. And ladies, you can help too, by the way. Come on, men. Say amen, all right? Y'all come to bed sometimes in them spacesuits. Come on. There you come. Yeah. That ain't helping the cause. Tammy's got a gown that's, I'm telling you, it's 4 inches thick, you know? Oh, but it's comfortable, but I know. I mean, I want something a little romantic every once in a while, you know? I mean, you could put a solar flare next to it and you couldn't see through it. Come on, somebody, right? It is, it ain't. Come on now, romance. We're going to keep this alive. It takes effort. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because the devil will offer you a counterfeit. And honestly, the devil will offer you a counterfeit that's a whole lot easier and a whole lot less effort. But it doesn't work. It'll destroy your life. Oh, he's got it on your smartphone now. You don't have to work hard at all. You can actually just one click and you're there. And the devil's doing that on purpose. Don't let him offer you a false counterfeit. Don't let him do that. Let's keep going. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. All beautiful you are, my darling. Watch this. There is no flaw in you. Well, we already know she actually is flawed physically. By her own admission, I'm not the prettiest girl out there. But he decided to do something that's very important, and literally every relationship needs this. You need this from me. You need this in every on your job. You need them to value you for who you are. What he was literally doing here is saying, listen to me, you're the new standard. You're the standard. And by the way, that's why pornography is so destructive. Some of you, the devil's lied to you and said, look, it isn't hurting anybody. I'm not even doing anything with anyone. This is just me and my mind. Let me tell you what's happening in your mind. And that is you're changing the standard to that. And to a standard that your wife could never step up to. Instead, if you stay off of that and stop looking at the world for the standard, I'm going to look to the standard for the rest of you ladies on the planet is Tammy Hodges. Ain't none like her. Y'all all trying to catch up to her. I need to believe that. She needs to believe that about me. Because godly sex is, write it down, it makes me feel secure. I'm secure. I understand that you value me. And so I don't have to hide or be shamed. I'm telling you, we live in a culture where there's so much sexual abuse. We're seeing this in the news every day. And it's made a whole generation of people who are insecure by the devil's design. What do? I'm going to make you feel secure by not allowing any other standard to come into my mind. Say amen right there, everybody. This is very important. Watch what happens next in the story. You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine. Are you recognizing this verse? This is our opening verse. He's repeating back to her what she said at the beginning. There's none like you. She goes, no, let me tell you. There's none like you. And the fragrance of your perfume is better than any spice. Watch this. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb. You're getting the first physical contact between this couple. Now, the Bible does not let us see the rest of their lovemaking. This is actually the end of the physical contact. But right here, he says, and you can see what it is, a kiss, my bride, milk and honey, and look what kind of kiss it is, are under your tongue. This is a French kiss in your Bible. 1,900 years before France was a nation, I might add. Which means this is a Hebrew kiss and your God is cool. Come on, somebody, all right? That's right. France stole this. And they've laid claim to something that God created. And they have an open mouth kiss between each other, which, by the way, I want to pause here and say to you, those of you who are single and young people, in my personal opinion, this is Chris, not the Lord. I'm just giving you my opinion. I've been doing this a long time. I think that I get asked all the time from young people, well, how far is too far? And I personally didn't mind my kids once they had developed a relationship and it was getting fairly serious for them to give their date a little kiss goodnight. But I told him, I said, but don't be doing any open mouth Hebrew kissing. We ain't doing any of that. Because you will start a process, listen to me, that God designed for completion. And it will demand completion. Listen, let me say it this way. God never intended for the process of sex to be interrupted. It will demand completion. So you're there, and it's like the engine on a car. You either got to blow your engine or change gears. Selah. I'm very serious. And that's why we have so much hurt and wounds. It's because we're starting a process thinking, oh, no, we can get right up to there and we're going to stop. No, you're not. No, you're not. And you fall right into the narrative that the devil has for your lives. Listen to me. God wants your intimacy to be full and blessed. But you gotta follow God's way in Jesus' name. Watch what happens next. He says, you are a garden locked up. Notice what he's valuing now. You waited for me. You know what I appreciate the most about you is you waited for me. You were locked up, my sister, my bride. You're a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. Look, I'm not naive enough to think that every one of you in this room, I'm not talking to 40,000 virgins today. I know that. When you read a verse like this, you say, well, there you go. See, Chris, I could never live up to that. That is not true. You can absolutely, every single one of you in this room, myself included, can have this verse. Write this down and I'll explain why, that godly sex is holy. Holy. See, Chris, what is holiness? It's not people who are perfect. It's people who have been forgiven. I am holy not because I'm perfect. I sinned. I have sinned. I went too far in relationships before Tammy and I got married. Many of you have and still are in that kind of relationship. Fine, that's what happened. Can't do anything about it. But from this day forward, I'm going to apply the blood of Jesus to my life, and he not only forgives you, but he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You need to know that. From this day forward, come on, give God a praise if you're grateful for that. Yeah. And I don't care how much you've messed up to this point. Let me explain the gospel to you this way, not in your notes. God has a standard. And if you look at the standard, you think, well, there's no way. I can't do it. You're right. You can't. So what happened? Jesus came and died for the violation of that standard. And that's for every single one of us. And when he died, he did two things. He paid for it, and then he comes along and he cleanses you from it. He not only takes care of the bill, but he makes your heart and your life brand new. Well, but I still do it. That's why he then sent you the Bible to illuminate your life in that standard. And that's what we do every week. And I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be because I keep coming to church and I keep taking notes and I keep going through series. Are y'all listening to me, everybody? But I still have problems with it. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to empower you to live a brand new life. My friends, this is the gospel and we invite you into that process in Jesus' name. Amen? That's your option today. You can leave here today holy. You can leave here today clean. You can leave here today pure. You can leave here all your sins forgiven and him washing you white as snow. And then you can come back and be illuminated even more and learn and grow. And say, oh, I still can't do it. And he's going to give you his Holy Spirit. He's going to change you. I don't even recognize myself anymore. And then I'm going to get in a group and I'm going to work it through with other believers. And I'm going to go in the process of holiness. I just have to say that to you. Because, I mean, we're not here just saying, look, here's God's standard. Y'all just need to live here. No, I understand that. Some of you have committed, you've gone way too far in the area of sexuality. And some of you, obviously, we're finding out in our world today that there are scores of people who've had it happen to them, and they didn't even ask for it. And then we have a whole generation of broken, kind of tucked it all in, hoping it would go away, ladies in particular. Listen to me. You are valued, and you are welcome here. We understand. We've all been through something similar to that, and we welcome you into a process of healing and hope in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody. But don't leave here condemned. Leave here realizing that you can have God's best in the area of sexuality. So how do you close a message like this, for heaven's sakes? Well, maybe this verse, James chapter 1. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I'm just kidding. I thought about that verse and I cracked up in my office. I barrel rolled it. I just, anyway, here's the real verse. Sorry. So sorry. He finishes his last line, and she's going to speak in the middle of this verse. You are a garden fountain, a well of flowing water streaming down from Lebanon. She stops and she says, you know, Solomon, you have said for four chapters now, do not awaken or arouse love before it's time. Last two Sundays, we've closed with that phrase. Do not awaken this thing too early. And she says now, awake it. Awake north wind, that's a strong wind. Awake south wind, that's a gentle wind. And blow on my garden, she's talking about her body, that its fragrance may spread everywhere. Let my beloved come into his garden and taste its choice fruits. What are we seeing here? We're seeing passion at a level that way too many people have never experienced. And God is trying to bring you into a level of intimacy that is so far better than the world's. Write this phrase down, then I'm going to pray for you. God's way isn't just right, it's better. It's better. Bow your heads in prayer right there where you are. Put your things in your lap. Please don't file them now. Don't click your notebooks. This is not the time to leave. In fact, I'm going to very respectfully ask at every campus, stay until your campus pastor dismisses. Because there are people that are praying and kind of gets distracting when there's a lot of moving around. We're gonna end early today, okay? So we're not late. There's plenty of time. This is an important part of the service, though, if you would please. Because I want us to pray. I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to pray to God. And then we're going to sing a song. And I think the song's important. So we're going to sing about the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did for us on the cross. And thank God that we're all forgiven. We're going to leave here today without condemnation. We're going to leave here today healed in Jesus' name. But I want to pray, first of all, for every person who's single. So let me just pray for you. Father, I pray for all our young people and for our singles and those who are single again. And I pray, God, that every one of them would be protected by your word. Lord, let them never be pulled into the world's way. And I'm asking you, God, for every person who's in sin, to give them the courage to say, enough's enough. I'm stepping out of that, and I'm going to follow God's way. Lord, I pray for every young person to take on the attitude and the posture. I'm going to protect myself and wait so that I can receive God's best. I'm going to follow God's way. Lord, I pray for every married couple. If you're here with your spouse, would you join hands right there where you are? And I pray, God, for the romance to come back alive. I pray today, God, that there'll be couples who will work a little harder to throw a log on the fire and not be discouraged that it's out. No, we're just going from this day forward, we're going to light the fire again. We're not going to let the devil come in and trick us and provide a counterfeit. So I speak life to every marriage. I pray, God, that they'll be more in love than they've ever been before. God, I'm asking you for them to have the courage to give each other grace, like the kind of grace they're willing to receive from you, that they'd be willing to give it to each other for all the mess ups and the stuff that didn't happen that was supposed to happen. God, I pray for a fresh start. Strengthen our marriages in this church, God. I break the power of adultery and divorce and fornication and pornography in every lie of the devil. God, from this day forward, we're going to get this right so we can receive your best. I bless the marriages. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this room. If you're far from God, you're feeling convicted. You know you've gone your own way and you're ready to give your life to Jesus because you figured out your way isn't working anyway. I'm not going to have you raise your hand today just because of the sensitivity and the nature of today's message. But I do want to lead you in a prayer at every campus. And I'm going to invite all the campus pastors to come on stage and join me. Pastor Steve, you can join me here. And I'm going to let them close the services. But I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you're far from God, or you're a Christian and you've backslidden, and you're ready to say, I've been going my own way, and it's got to stop. I'm ready. Then let me help you with the words. Pray a prayer right there in your heart, or you can whisper it right there where you are. Just pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus, I am so sorry. I have gone my own way. It's time for it to stop. And I'm ready to surrender my life to you, everything. And so, Lord, you take my sin. I'll take your righteousness. And I thank you, God, that you're making me holy today as if I never did it. You're forgiving me and you're cleansing me through the power of your blood on the cross. I invite the Holy Spirit to come live inside of me to help me live a different life. And I'm going to follow your word and your way because it's right and it's better. So today, I give you my life, everything. In your name I pray. And everybody said amen.